Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yeah, it's 7:49 Central African Time, at the time of the morning where we join your favorite counselor. Yeah, he's our favorite counselor. He's someone that is, alhamdulillah, walking the talk, our very own counselor, Ahmad Farak. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me, how are you in this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmad?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful, shining Sunday morning, Shafat. If you look from my balcony and you see the sea, such beautiful weather today. And in the next 2-3 weeks, you'll be getting your sardine, which you love the most, Shafat.
I tell you, Adam Camden, I just spoke about the sardine. He was standing on the 10th floor of his building and looking at the promenade. And he said the people are not feeling cold because the sun is coming through. And you, Ahmad, you are really, you're a beach boy, Ahmad. You're a beach boy through and through. When you talk about the sardine, you're talking about me and you as one. Hey, we are one. We are the beach boys, Ahmad. You take us anywhere in the world. You take us inland. You take us to Johannesburg. You take us wherever, to Danhauser and Ladysmith. But we want to go back to the sea. You feel the same way, Ahmad?
Same, Shafat. When I come every fortnight to Swingo Beach to see the mother garden at the masjid there. So I always take a drive down Ocean Terrace and then come back to home.
Alhamdulillah, really brilliant indeed. On the Cuff and Duffin side, you have some news for us, Ahmad. Share that with our listeners this morning.
Shafat, you heard about what happened, that mother killed a 3-year-old child, and it was a very devastating matter. That I was in a council meeting, Maulana Abdullah Khan phoned me, and I assisted that matter. Eventually, we got the post-mortem done on Friday because, we had to do a lot of running around, convince the investigating officer our method of burying, because they don't understand why we have to bury quick as possible. They said, no, the mother is not in the position to give you the release for the to do the funeral because she is not in the right frame of mind. In this case, yeah, obviously, then we had to, alhamdulillah, the imam of the Bidi Street Jamaat Khana, Hafiz Ab, Mullah Ahmad Sadiq Mullah, we made him the amir to say, you know what, we got the affidavit done from the investigating officer. There was a lot of running around. Eventually, we managed to get everything done. And Friday, alhamdulillah, after Isha Namaz, we buried that child. 3-year-old child, masoom child, because the child urinated and then missed the parents, missed the bed and everything else. And this is what happened. The mother took the child's life away. And she had a previous issue with going to Fort Napier, and she got two other children. It'll go tomorrow, inshallah. The homes will come and assess that, and the whatever happens from there, we are making applications to try and place those two children into a Muslim home instead of going into any other homes or anything. It has to go before court, but we have got plans in place where we'll be able to assist the government and say them. Tell to them, because the one child is 9 years old and going to the school here in Durban here, so that it will be easier for us to tell them, you know what, we are prepared to pay for the school fees and do whatever we have to do. And the other child is still slightly blind, so that needs special care, so we have got facility for all that. We're putting something together to make sure that the children stays in the Muslim home. That's what we are doing at the moment. But you know what, Shafat, is very, very sad to see the mother did a thing like that. And she's will be going to Fort Napier for observation for the next 30 days. And she's in prison, in Westville prison at the moment. That's where we are, Shafat.
You know, Ahmad, you talk about the Westville prison, and perhaps a question that comes through my mind. How many Muslim females are incarcerated in Westville, Ahmad?
Shafat, I don't know the actual count, but there is in the region between 25 and maybe 30 Muslim females. There's a lot of males. but females, I'm not too sure. But you know, if I do a search with Maulana Shabir Asmal, who is the head of the Muslim Prison Services, who I work very closely with, and he will be able to give me the script. By for next week, inshallah, we'll be able to give them a full steps on what is happening in prison and all that. I can do that, Shafa.
JazakAllah, Madan. That's why we got you here. And you keep us up to speed. And then we have Arthur Frazier. He wants to, he's already laid charges against Cyril Ramaphosa. And, you know, it's amazing the amount of money that's been, alleged that he's stashed away. I mean, it was all dollars in mattresses and under bunk beds and this and bed. What's going on, Ahmed? What's going on? You think Cyril Ramaphosa has got a tsunami coming up and he will lose his leadership? What's your thoughts, Ahmed?
Shepard, I don't think with this information, the press tell us the truth. Just tell us the truth. This morning's press, Sunday Tribune has got a big article, front page article. Just tell us the truth. And the truth has to come out. You cannot keep $4 million at your house. And even if you did, you know, he's a game farmer. Even if you do auctions, you buy in auctions and all that, then you pay a small deposit. And the rest of it, everything has to be done EFT. Nobody carries cash like this anymore. So I think he has now dug a big grave for himself. And I don't think on this one, I'm not sure if he can come out, because I think he has just caused himself big harm by not revealing what was he had. And secondly, and even if there was what they claimed, there was a burglary at his farm, he did not report this by the Southern Services. So that is a big hole he has dug, and I don't think he'll be able to sort this one out. But I think, you know, the knives are out for him, and I think they got him at the right time. So we need to be to see what happens, because the conference is around the corner in December. In 6 months, I can't see him putting this thing together. Let's see what happens. Unless he's keeping the cash for somebody else, he has to own up. End of the day, he has to own up. But as a president, he knows the law. You're not allowed to keep cash like this at home. So I think, you know, as a president, he's not setting a very good example. And I think the days are numbered from what I read and what I see. I don't think he'll be able to come out of this one, Shafa.
Yeah, they can't say that Gupta taught him to put money under the mattress and hooplung money. He said, hey, I learned it from the Indians. I use it. No excuse at all, Siya. No excuse at all. As Ahmed says, the truth has to be told. Yes, Ahmed, you know, it's sad indeed that we have this type of president that has fallen in love with money. It seems, you know, the price of fuel goes up. Half the country is in poverty. And here's a president that's got stashes and stashes of money, luxurious properties. And he's been captured. Maybe many say he's been captured by the conglomerates of the world, and he's doing their bidding in this country. What's your thoughts, Ahmed?
I think, you know, I've always said this, you know, Ramaphosa is a good man, a good president. You know, he stabilized the country to a certain degree. But the thing is this, you must understand that this country is, you know, he is there, but he's still run by the whites and the Jews of this country. And this is what it is. He's just a white man in a black skin here. That's what we've always been saying. And ANC has got a tendency of doing things like this. And they eventually do get caught, because, you know, if you look at the whole structure of the ANC, you'll see if you have to start now, this is just the beginning what we have picked up. If you go through to every one of them, somebody has got skeleton in this closet there. And that's what's going to happen. He's going to open up very, very. If he goes down, there's a whole lot of other people going to be going down through. So that's what's going to happen. And if Zuma goes down again, there's a whole lot is going to crumble again. So that's what's going to be happening in the ANC. So eventually, they know for the fact that the 2024 election, they're not going to get majority. And that they're aware of it and all that. Trying their very best to still get the support. And the only way they can get the support is by the support, like what they did in the election, the municipal election and the 2021 election. They've spent $75 million, which they took from the city, and they paid to the informal settlement to buy the vote, give them grocery, give them this, that, and all that. That's what they are doing at the moment. So the days are numbered. In fact, this country needs a complete change. It needs a shift from what is happening at the moment. But they have realized, you know, from what I see, you know, I'm only in government for 6 months now. And I can see the tenancy in the ANC, the 96 seat they got. They're not putting one foot wrong now. Everything, they're going by the book because they know they make one mistake that the whole ANC will bring a vote of non-confidence in the city, yeah, and they will be out. So they're treading on a very, very thin ice at the moment, I can say.
Well, I tell you, Ahmad, you're really giving us a powerful information this morning. Really, you know, Allah bless you for being with us. And maybe one more question. Chief Justice Zondo, Raymond Zondo, many say he was Ramaphosa's right-hand man. He did Ramaphosa's bidding. This allegation that have come on Cyril Ramaphosa, how does it affect the Chief Justice, Ahmad?
See, Shabbat, the three-volume of the finding is out. And it's already come before Parliament, and it's been endorsed. And it's already gone to Shamila Batoy for prosecution. Shamila Batoy got till the end of 30th of June to start prosecuting. And you can see what is happening. The heads are rolling every single day. You hear so-and-so has been picked up from this department, that department. So the things are happening at the moment. So the thing is, there's no way they can take all these Chief Zondo can't make a reversal in the decision that he made, because all the findings are out. Because when he was sitting, he was not sitting alone. They had prosecutors, they had top legal brain with him. There was about eight of them sitting there, and these are all top advocates were sitting. And so he can't make the decision himself. So the decision came, although he. End result is he sanctions. Everybody will give the input. They bring it through the table. He said, in this matter, yeah, that's supposed to be happen. And that's what happened here. So now they're in a big, big dilemma here. I don't know how these things are going to work out, but the heads are rolling. We can see that it is coming before court on a regular basis. They are picking up. And when they're going to pick up, Shafat, if they're picking up at 12 o'clock, if they've got three, four places, four houses, on precise time at 12 o'clock, all four houses will be, the doors will be knocked on. That's how they work. And they're moving, and they've got a fantastic team. Shamila Batoy has put a team that she brought the best from the country, a task team, and that is helping her. And that's where the convictions are coming through. And most of them are already being charged at the moment, Shafat.
Absolutely brilliant, Ahmad.
Yes, I just gone 8:05 Central African time. Yes, Ahmad, listening to the news intently. Many things happened, but our things locally is getting even hotter and hotter. The crime statistics are from Becky Ele. I mean, how you look at KZN, and we're virtually under siege. Every second things are happening. I want you to talk about it and, you know, break down this, the different types of crime stats that are coming through, Ahmad.
Shafat, you know, the crime statistic was out on Thursday, and we had a look at it. And if you're looking at, you know, like 37% of murder that is coming through in the country, and bulk of it is in KZN. KZN and Gauteng is the biggest area that province that is affected with murder. And then you got rape, you got, you know, if you look at that whole list, you see that the amount and the percentage has gone up in just a year. So where is our police force? Yes, we understand there's a big shortage of admin workers. There's the people on the ground. There is shortage of that because of funding. But this is all priorities we're supposed to have given. Every year, the national government gets budget. Why is that budget not put in place to make sure we are going back? Like, you know, they're only training 200,000 a year. It will take us, when you're short of 5,000 police officers in the ground, how are you going to do it? How long is it going to take you? Because you're only giving us 200 a year. So it's not, it doesn't make sense. So we are saying, you know what? You need to start putting a bigger budget, because the budget is there. Why is the budget not used? Where did the money go? So end of the day, still we're not getting any answers from national government. So here in the city, we are making sure that we are putting pressure on them so they can take it to province and it goes to national government. So our hands are tied because when we're doing, first it's municipality, then it goes to province, from province it then goes to national. So this is how it's been, everything being allocated. You get first allocation from national government, then you get province, get allocation funding, and then we get funding for the city. So, you know, this is the problem that we, even if the Metro Police, we can't do anything because the overtime alone, they need more money just to pay overtime instead of employing. Shafat, you won't believe it. For the amount of overtime we have to pay for the to the Metro Police of the city, we could have employed another 500 police officers. So this is what we are saying. Why go and pay overtime when you can? Now, this is another way of taking out money every time you just say it is overtime instead of employing people. That's where we are at the moment, Shafat.
Yeah, I'm looking at a message here, and Farooq says, Assalamu alaikum, Shafat and Ahmed Farooq. Ahmed is our man. Yes, well said there. He said, in the early morning of Sunday, there was a fire that broke out at the Chatsmith, Life Chatsmith Gardens Hospital. Has Ahmed any update for that? Was there a fire there this morning, Ahmed, at Chatsmith
Shafat, I didn't get any notification. Normally we get a notification from the city fire department. Nothing has come through to us. It's a private hospital, obviously. So if it was a government, anything to do with government, it's
okay.
Priority, but in this case they will, what they do is they just phone the fire department and they'll come, but we will know in the next couple of hours, we'll know if there's any damage or anybody's hurt or anything like that.
Jazakallah for that, Ahmed. And I'm looking at another message. Ibrahim says, Assalamu alaikum. You and Ahmed are tuning, brother Shaf, well done. He says, I can also confer that when the Bangladeshis are robbed, they don't report their robbery because they're frightened of the law. I mean, this is shocking. Ibrahim says, even if the Bangladeshis are robbed, they don't report it. Why is it? Is that so, Ahmed?
Shafat, firstly, they don't report most of these foreigners because they don't have paperwork. Now, as soon as they go to the police station, immediately when you got a expired passport or you got an expired visa, they know they will get detained immediately. What they came to do, they will charge them for something else and they'll put him, they won't worry about what was the complaint they came to put at the police station. So that's the problem. They tried to do that. So because most of them, now, as soon as a guy comes to the police station to report a case, and he knows that his passport is not in order, his papers are not in order, and then the police officer says, where you stay? When that's when the problem comes in. If he goes there, there's another 10 already non-compliant foreigners are in the country. So they all get locked up. What happens? Then the major thing that takes place is the guy will tell him, the officer will say, okay, how many? 10 of you, yeah, give me 500 grand each. So he's taken one, 5 grand, mm-hmm. And he says, okay, forget about it. Let's walk away from it. And this is what's happening in the police department at the moment, Shafat.
Now, Ahmed, you know, these robberies that are taking place, it's calculated because, look at it, and they're going for targets. They know that, you know what, be quite clean here. We're going to rob them. And, you know, many talk about the ANC being complicit in all these big robberies that are taking place. What's your thoughts on that?
Shafat, you know, we're not 100% sure which party is involved, but we know that one thing, the robberies are taking place, the numbers of the robberies on a day-to-day, month-to-month, is being escalated very, very, because its unemployment is so high at the moment. If you're looking in a country like South Africa with 55 million people in the country, and you got like almost on just about 50%, 48% to be precise, 48% is unemployed. What happens in a case like that? You know, this is a huge factor. What is the biggest alarm factor is going to be is when your youth is going to take, and Malema is working with the youth very, very strongly. And if that comes, you will have a huge uprising in the near future in this country. And that is very, very hard to curb. So that's where our big problem is at the moment. And it's going to come sooner or later. You saw in overseas, you saw in Egypt what happened. You saw in some of the Middle Eastern countries and in Hong Kong what happened. It's the youth that come, they are radical. And Malema is winning them on a day-to-day basis. And if you look at his polls in the year, if you take his election on the 2021 election, he only had like 8 seats. Today he's got 24 seats. Now that talks for itself. So we are concerned about that because the youth is the one that are unemployed and they, you know, the frustration gets to them. Eventually, you put coke and you keep shaking the coke. What happens? It will burst and this is going to happen. The balloon is going to burst very, very soon. And that's where the big problem is going to come. And then with all the intelligence, with the army and everything, you're not going to curb that problem that we're going to be facing.
Absolutely, Ahmed. And I'm looking at a message from Sikandar. He says, Assalamu alaikum. Brother Ahmed Farooq, I'm a very concerned citizen about orphanages. How many Muslim orphanages we have to take care of Muslim orphans? And I remember there was a Darul Yatama wal Masakeen. Are they still in existence? Ahmed, I'm sure you hands-on, you should know about the Muslim orphanages.
There's quite a few. There's one in Chatsworth, one in Chatsworth. There's also Phoenix. There's also Darul Yatama is still running very, very strong. Dawood Lockhart, who is the chairperson of that day, I work very, very closely. In fact, we had a chat regarding these two children where the social welfare will be interviewing them tomorrow to whether we want to put them there. Unfortunately, we're not going to do that because of the schooling of the child in Durban. So that is it. So Darul Yatama has got a very, very good facility, but all their children goes to school. So there is nobody during the day at the facility to look after a small child or anything like that. Because in the morning, all the children goes to school. They got kumbis, take them, bring them, and they got madrasa. Same thing happens. And that's how they're living up there in La Mercy.
Alhamdulillah, and before people were conscientized and on Eid days they used to go there. And how often do people go and visit these orphans, Ahmed?
Shafat, in fact, I know a lot of people, if they got a birthday or they got some do at home or anything, instead of doing it at home, they take a pot of biryani, they take some clothing and take sweets and whatever they got, they take it there and they're going to spend the day with those children there in La Mercy. This is still happening till now, Shafat.
Alhamdulillah, noble indeed. And, what are the age groups of these orphans that are housed in these places, Ahmed?
Shafa, these are all school-going children. So obviously they must be from the 7 years right up to 12, 13, 14 years old. Children are there. They've got girls there. They've got females there. Boys there. And then they've got a very good care. They've got vehicles that pick them up from school, take them to school, make sure the lunch is given to them. And the school books have been given to them. So they have got a very, very good facility in terms of getting them and keeping them there. There's proper social workers come on a monthly basis. They have to send returns. All these homes, even if you got the old age home, they have to send returns to the Department of Health and social welfare to see if the people have been taking proper care. There's, medication is being given to them. Everything has to be in place. Otherwise, they lose their license in terms of the social welfare rules.
Now, even we know this country is very particular about BEE and assimilation and bringing people of all groups together. So if you have only Muslim-only orphanage, do the government interfere and say, no, you have to open it up to everyone? What happens then, Ahmed?
No, in terms of the law, each religion, in terms of the right of religion, right of culture, we have got facilities. These are Muslims. So obviously, we cannot cater for some of the non-Muslims and all that because of the Salah facilities and Paki, Safi and everything else. And this is involved in the constitution in terms of the law. So we could, then there is where we assist in homes that is totally multiracial and all that. So, and when they got some of the Muslim patients in their homes or anything, they refer it to us so that we put them into our Muslim facilities and all, because they know the culture, what we have to do in Ramzan, Eid and everything, how it works and all that. So that's how we, you know, it's a compromise between the social welfare department and the Department of Health and the community. That's how it's been done.
You know, Ahmed, I knew you were always a vociferous about the old age home, and, you know, you were not for it. But, you know, what's the latest updates on that? And, you know, perhaps you also had some visions of opening, you know, a few other things. That Sea Haven is still waiting for you, Ahmed. It's, hey, I'm waiting for you. It's going to wreck and ruin, Ahmed. Your thoughts?
That place there, in fact, you know what, the community of Spingo Beach must take it very, very good, this thing, in because what we are doing in Durban, in especially CBD and all the old buildings and all that, if they don't do anything about it, they got a prescribed time. We bring a court order, and then we would do it up, and we can use that facility because it's been owed, millions of rands being owed by rates and tax and all that. So this is what the city is going to be doing shortly, and this is what's happening at the moment. So Sea Haven, I think what you need to do is make sure you get a good committee or your ratepayers association, take photos and all that, send it to the city, and then you say, you know, you know you bring your value of your area down when you have buildings like that. So obviously, you know, your rates goes, your rates, you, because of that, if a person wants to sell his property, he's not getting a decent price because of buildings around him and all that. So this is an opportunity we got. We need to put a team together and write to the city, and then we can take it up with the city, and we can make a plan there to get the place sorted out. But, you know, what can you do? There's not much you can do, because the thing is this, these people bought the building there and it's left for I don't know how many years. And I think we must do something about it, Shafa.
Iqbal says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak and Shafaat. I know I'm sounding like a long playing a recorder, but Ahmed, I'm so concerned about our civic centers and all our community halls are being invaded and taken over by people from the informal settlements. They're making noise at midnight. We can hear them in our area. They have no respect. They're hanging their blankets and so forth on the fences, and the children are roaming the towns. Ahmed, what can be done? It seems as if councillors in these areas do not have the pluck. How do you respond to Iqbal there, Ahmed?
Shabbat, firstly, we must understand the two floods were act of God. Number one, these people were, you got 550 for informal jondolos, you got all over around Spingo and all over, you got Dakota, you got thousands of people living. They got sea views, so, you know, if you go through the side road there, they got beautiful view than some of the people in Amslanga and some of the people all over Durban and surrounding. You'll see that their house, their jondolos, their hut, whatever you can call it, has been demolished. It's gone to the ground because of the floods. Now, they had to, you know, the city, the one of the bylaws is when things happen like that, there's an action plan, there's a committee, we get into gear, and we have to help the people. And in most halls, these people are there. They're not going to be there indefinitely, because the thing is, as we are finding accommodation, getting them sorted out, and they're starting to move. And I think the second flood actually really cause more damage than the first flood, because the thing is, when we are about getting them out, the second flood came in. So there will be. So I think we need to have a little bit patient. I think in the next between 30 to 60 days, there will be, because civic halls are made for the community, and that civic hall has to be re-cleaned up, get the civic hall sorted out, because these civic halls were already pre-booked for functions and everything else. Now the community had to cancel their functions and whatever they had to use that hall. They can't use it anymore. So that's the problem we are faced with, and we are working very, very closely with the city, with the mayor, especially the deputy mayor. He's making plans at the moment where we can house them quick as possible. We are in a at the moment working on a system where they will be able to put 1,000 houses a day. They're busy looking at the land at the moment where they're going to be landscaping that place so that houses can go. It's a prefab houses. So all these things are going to be happening in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Things are starting to happen because end of the day, these people are fighting with us. They want water, light, and these halls need to be cleared up because their area need to be cleaned up again. So they are working towards that at the moment. So you can't do much because there is no space for them to be put back to where they were and all that. So we have to first fix that up or give them an alternate place where they will be able to go and stay so that your civic souls are being cleared up.
Now, but the question to pose is, why do government only react, or, you know, the municipality heads, they only react when people start toying and making a big noise and blocking freeways of burning tires and so forth? Yeah, as you look at Tongata this week, they had to block off the Watson Highway for them to get a reaction. Why does it the government waits for such an extreme reaction from the people, Ahmed?
Shafat, at the moment, we got so much to do. You know, when we're working towards Tongat, then you've got a problem in Amlazi, don't have water. When we're fixing Amlazi, Stingo Beach people are putting pressure on us. They need the people from the civic hall to be moved out. So then you've got the people of Inanda. They got no water for so many days, no electricity. Then you got people phoning us. There's roads they're washed away. So we got too many things happening at the same time. Now, you know what? How much can a city like us do when we only got a 54.5 billion budget, which is going to be approved on Tuesday this coming week? And furthermore, you're looking at 35 billion to fix everything up. We don't have that money. Tongat is looking to get that pumps and put the facility right for water. We're looking for 20 million we can't find at the moment. That's how bad it is. The thing is this, the money which was promised by National, the billion rand for Ramaphosa promised us, it hasn't come. So we need that. End of the day, we got engineers working on all these pumps and everything to come. These are not small pumps. These are big, huge monsters. They have to come with crane and everything else. The thing is, there is no money. The deliveries are coming, but there's no money. People want to do the work. They have to get paid. And some of them are like 7 days because they don't have they don't have the facility with the council to give them on an account basis or anything like that. So, you know, that is a problem that we are faced with. And the money, you know, people are also not paying their rates in time. Because they're saying, you know what, we're not getting service delivery. Well, just for the next 2 months, we're not paying rates. But the city has gone very, very clever in terms of that is concerned. We put your rates, light, and your electricity bill in one. So you don't pay your rate, we still cut off your lights because you haven't paid your rates. So this is what, you know, the city is sharp in that aspect. So, you know, end of the day, we cannot do everything at once, but we are working. You know, I'm not sounding like a politician or I'm there only for 6 months. But I can see the things are starting to happen now. They know the problem there. There is money. Money is coming from the outside. You know, people are sponsoring us things to get things done.
Absolutely, Ahmed. And as you talk about, you know, the different types of the money is not coming in. People, I mean, you can empathize and sympathize with the people if they don't want to say, hey, you know what, I didn't get lights for 18 days. I didn't get water for 21 days. Hey, I still got a bill and I got a nice hefty account of $2,000 and $2,000-$3,000. How do they work out that figure, Ahmed?
First thing, you know, you raise a very important question. Shafat, all those people that did not have light for say 18 days, 20 days, 30 days, or whatever it is. When they get the next bill, they must read that bill very, very carefully because if you didn't get, how they're still charging you the same amount? So you need to write to the city very quickly and tell, you know what, you didn't give me electricity, you didn't give me service, so why are you charging me for this? So, you know, if you're not going to check your bill properly, they will because we need the money. We're not going to remind you that, you know what, you didn't get, we deducted X amount or anything. We just want to keep quiet. And this is what's going to happen. And they are going to do that. You can write it on this wall today that what they're not going to check the bill or anything. And a lot of our people, they just, because the bill is there, they, you know, they're too busy, they just pay. So yet you didn't get service for that time. So just be very, very careful. People need to know that when they get the bill, check it out first and then pay accordingly.
Yeah, then otherwise they take you for a big luck and they know, hey, that guy doesn't, he doesn't query anything. Let's slap him with, I mean, previously they slapped you with 5 and 6 grand and all this thing. And, you know, had people like Gomeda and all in charge. What happens then, Ahmed? I mean, these people have no conscience, and at the expense of hardworking people, they're living off blood, sweat, and tears. Your response, Ahmed?
Shabbat, you know, firstly, you know, you take a query to it, Martin West, that, or you go to your local municipality where you pay your rates, light, water, and all that. When you go for query, they got a separate section. You got to take out a ticket. By the time your turn comes, you already said, you know what, I lost. Today, I have, you know, I only took 3-4 hours off from work. Now, his whole day is going to go away. And he said, you know what, before I lose more money, let me go back to work. So, you know, you what you went for, you're not doing it anymore. So you have to go there and bring it up. Once they note it and they give you a reference number, that's when you nail them. You say, no, there's my 3 months' bill. This is what you charged me. This is what I used. This is the story. And this is how you this thing is calculated. And they will do the calculation. They say, okay, fine. There will be a credit for you for so much.
Ahmed, you got me stunned there. Yeah. So, it seems like every second person will have to go and stand in the queue and to get a reference number. And if that reference number doesn't work, hey, Ahmed, they're going to worry you, Ahmed. They worry you. As if they're worrying you, Ahmed.
Fortunately for that day, I don't have a pressure or anything. The very first thing I did, Shafat, I knew when I was getting into government and I got elected, the very first thing I did from my salary, I employed a guy who's got 20 years experience with the council. And he was a counselor like me now. So he's retired and I brought him. Who knows the know-how backward? He knows the act. He knows everything. So I put him in my office. I gave him an office. I said, this is what you are going to do. Any query, anybody gives me any information, I send it through to Rocky Naidu. Rocky, attend to this. This is the name of the person. Send him an email. Send him a WhatsApp. Where we are, what we have done for you. So that is playing a huge dividend for me because people are saying, you know what? Your man has come only 6 months. Look at, he has given me. He sorted my rates out for me. My electricity was not working for so many days. There's a reference number. I have given it to him. He followed it up. Within 48 hours, my electricity has been sorted out. My water. We tell you exactly whether it will be done or it's not going to be done and how long it's going to tell you. Because we got direct link with the municipality and telling you exactly where you are. Like take the Ahmed Al Qadi Hospital. They didn't have water and they needed, they got big JoJo tanks and you know, for dialysis, you need a lot of water. Solly Suleiman phoned me, he says he's one of the directors of Ahmed Al Qadi. He phoned me, he said, Ahmed, I've got a major problem, I don't have water. I said, don't worry. He phoned me at after Fajr Namaz and by 6:30 he spoke to me. By 8 o'clock, I've already given him, I said, this is a problem we are faced there at the pump house there. The water is only, we're only getting 50% water from, I'm getting water. You want to have a problem. But don't worry, because of dialysis, I'm making special arrangement with the mayor. We sent him a container. We sent a tanker there and we filled his JoJo's. This is how you do things, Shafat. That's where I'm winning at the moment to the community because I'm giving them service. And you tell them the truth. It can be done, can't be done, and they will understand. And we tell them every 2-3 days where we are.
Absolutely, mashallah, Madan. Yeah, you and Rocky are rocking, mashallah. You keep up the good work. And your parting words this morning?
Shafat, you know, alhamdulillah, we must make shukr that, you know, in this country, with all the problems that we've faced with, there's two things we got in with us, that the Constitution, and I admire the late Ismail Muhammad, advocate, then he became a judge. When he made the final constitution for us, you got the right of religion and right of culture. And that is helping us here in this country. And, you know, you go to anywhere in the world, what you get here in South Africa, you cannot get anywhere. We must make sugar. And alhamdulillah, what we're going through, this is test, you know, this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially only in KZN, you had July, is going to be, next month will be 1 year for the July looting, what happened. And then you had your two floods within a year. So, you know, this is a test from Allah, something we are not doing right in this province. Maybe Allah knows best, but you know what? The long and the short, we must make shukr, especially the Muslim community and the community in KZN. We have got everything for with us. We just have to get the city right, and inshallah, we will be, before 2024, things going to be, you're going to have a major change in this country, shukr.
Inshallah, I love your positivity there, Ahmed. Keep up the good work, and Allah bless you and protect you. And make du'as for us, Ahmed, as we make du'as for you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Yes, Ahmed Parak, Councillor Ahmed Parak, keeping us up to speed. And alhamdulillah, yes, we get it here fresh from him on Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.